Good morning and welcome to the coffee table. I am Kathleen Gustafson and the time is 9:02 a.m. The topic this morning is Borough Ballot Measure 2. And let's just read it. I'm just going to read it. I have guests here, but just to start, shall Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly Ordinance 2020-24, an ordinance amending KPB Title 4 regarding borough elections to provide for vote-by-mail elections for one time between a regular election and for more time between a regular election and a runoff election, and remove proposition statements, be repealed. So a yes vote would repeal the ordinance, and it would not become effective, and a no vote would not repeal the ordinance, and it would become effective January 1st, 2021. Now, if it sounds to you like I've just talked around something, it kind of feels that way too. So we're going to get more specific this morning. I want to introduce in the studio Borough Assembly Member Willie Dunn. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
And on the phone, Executive Director of the Independent Living Center, Joanna Geisler, who was on the Election Stakeholders Group. Joanna, good morning.
Good morning to you all.
Thank you so much for being here. Now, I feel like we can't really start with Proposition 2 until we talk about the Election Stakeholders Group. Now, if either of you, please, feel free to correct me, but what I think is going on here is that in 2019, in response to an Americans with a Disabilities Act violation or lawsuit, the borough formed the Election Stakeholders Group. And Joanna, you were on that as a representative of the Independent Living Center because of your perspective and work with people with disabilities. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about the goals or your goals for the stakeholders group and what happened in that group, how long it took? And I have a copy of the report with me. But can you talk a little bit about the stakeholders group?
Sure. And if I could say just from the beginning, the stakeholders group was part of a conciliation agreement through the Human Rights Commission. So that was a result of an individual with a vision loss who was unable to vote privately, which is, again, a violation of civil rights and the Americans with Disabilities rights. So part of that conciliation agreement was the development of a election stakeholders group that consisted of, between 25 and 30 borough-wide representatives. I think I could have that number wrong, but representatives from across the borough who met for, I think I first joined in February, and it completed in August of 2019. So I think some groundwork had been done by the borough prior to my joining in February. So my job, as I thought, was to advocate and represent people with disabilities and their rights, as all of our rights are, to vote, be able to vote privately and in a manner that was accessible to them. And so through, and Willie and the other stakeholder members can attest, there was massive amounts of work and meetings and research and demonstrations. And the result was a hybrid system that would allow for mail-in voting as well as five accessible voting centers scattered around the borough. So that's kind of a year's worth of work in a nutshell.
Thank you. And in this, I'm looking at the recommendations by the stakeholders group now. In fact, there were public officials on this group. There were private citizens, all kinds of people. It was very difficult, I'll say, to find someone who was willing to come on and talk about the stakeholders group because of the contentious nature of this ballot proposition. So I want to thank you for being available. If anyone has any questions, we're going to get to Assemblymember Dunn and a pre-recorded interview with Assemblymember Bjorkman, who is one of the sponsors of this ballot measure. But I also want to make sure that people know who are listening that you can call or email your questions in. The number to call is 235-7721, or you can email your questions to info@kbbi.org. So the one of the recommendations for vote-by-mail hybrid says it's been in use for over 20 years in Cooper Landing, Hope, Fox River, Moose Pass, Seldovia, Kachemak Bay, and Tyonek. So six of the what were 28 precincts already do this. I want to bring Assemblymember Dunn into the conversation now, because you were on the assembly when they accepted the recommendations of the stakeholders group, correct?
That's correct, Kathleen. And also, I would like to just start out by saying that I am a member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, but I'm here today as a private individual. So anything I'm discussing today are my individual understanding and opinion. So I'm not representing the assembly here today. So having said that, yes, I was on the assembly when the stakeholders group recommendations were brought to us, and the assembly did approve the recommendations unanimously. There was no opposition to the recommendations at the time, which is interesting because some opposition developed later after the fact. But I was also a member of the stakeholders group, work group. And as Joanna said, we did work very diligently and collaboratively for 6 months, meeting twice a month for 6 months. And it was, in my experience in working with government and nonprofits and all that, it was probably one of the most organized and collaborative efforts that I've ever seen. And we did come out with a number of recommendations, of course, one of which was the hybrid vote by mail. And as I said earlier, the assembly did accept those recommendations unanimously with no opposition at the time.
And Joanna Geisler, can you talk a little bit about what led you during the what convinced you during the process of the stakeholders group making their report that vote by mail would be the hybrid vote by mail system would be the best way to proceed?
Well, to be honest, I made that decision prior to the stakeholders group because the individual who filed the Human Rights Commission complaint was a staff member of the Independent Living Center at the time. And actually, I was with him when he was refused private voting when he tried to vote. And it was, from my perspective, it was humiliating. And so at that point, he said to me, you know, if we really want equal access in voting, then everyone should vote by mail. And so that actually was planted in my brain in 2015, I think was the Human Rights Commission complaint, or maybe it was 2017. At any rate, I think the bonus to the stakeholders group was the hybrid system, which actually gives people more options to vote and more. And for those individuals who want to vote in person, then there would be five accessible voting centers, as well as accessible voting machines. So to me, it was, you know, it was the best of both worlds. As we know, voting in Homer and around the state of Alaska can be a very social event. And so for those individuals who want to vote in person, then that's what the accessible voting centers are meant for. For those who, you know, don't care about voting in person and just want to make their vote count, then that's what the vote by mail system is.
Also, one of the recommendations of the stakeholders group was to implement signature verification software and a signature review board that a voter would need to include either a voter ID number, a driver's license number, or a social security number. So that sounds like a way to try to keep vote by mail as honest as possible. I know that Anchorage has used this system, or I read it in the stakeholders group, in the stakeholders report, and that they have even experienced increased voter turnout because of their hybrid mail system. So I do want to, Assemblymember Jesse Bjorkman is one of the sponsors of this ballot proposition, Proposition 2, repealing the vote by mail and election runoff and proposition statements. So I spoke with him yesterday, and here's about 10 minutes worth. In fact, I want to make sure people know that Assemblymember Bjorkman would be here, but he is a teacher, and so he is in class at this time of the morning. And so I'm going to play his interview from yesterday afternoon. This is Assemblymember Bjorkman, who is in support of Proposition 2, repealing Ordinance 2020-24.
Hey, thanks for calling.
I sure appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
So tomorrow morning on the coffee table, I'll be talking about ballot measure or Proposition 2 to repeal Ordinance 2020-24. And I know that you were one of the signers on that. You weren't on the assembly when the resolution was passed. Could you briefly talk about the ordinance itself and why you want it repealed?
Sure. Well, thanks for the question, Kathleen. And just to provide a bit of background from my perspective, the Election Stakeholders Group was formed before my time on the Assembly. However, this ordinance came before the Assembly while I was on the Assembly. And the essence of what this Assembly does as far as major changes to how we do our elections within the Kenai Peninsula Borough is that this ordinance directs our elections to be done in a way that sends out a ballot by mail to every registered voter with a deliverable address. And that's quite a change from the current system where we have polling places in communities and in locations much closer to where people live as proposed under this current ordinance. Polling locations under the ordinance that has been passed and which is up for repeal now with ballot measure number 2 would decrease the number of in-person polling locations that are available from 20 or so to down to 5 to 7 polling locations. So, for instance, in my community of Nikiski, those polling locations would be eliminated. Typically, we've had polling locations at polling has been done at the old senior center, had been done at fire stations. But now, no polling locations would be available in the Kiski, and folks would have to drive in to the Kenai City Clerk's office if they would like to vote in person. And the main push of this ordinance is for people to vote by mail and send a ballot by mail to everyone. And so there's a couple of reasons why I'm against that. Number one, I think people should have the ability to vote in person and to make sure that they can vote in person without kind of interference and that kind of sanctity of the secret ballot is ensured by people going and voting in person in their own community in the ballot box. And also the cost, as was estimated and talked about with the clerk's office to some detail, the cost is actually more expensive for this vote-by-mail system than it would have been to kind of meet the ADA requirements and satisfy the conditions that the Human Rights Commission came up with in an agreement with the Assembly to make sure that folks can vote and have all the accommodations that they need depending on whatever their disability might be or their ability. So it's a pretty simple issue, Kathleen, when it comes right down to it. If the choice that people need to make is, do they want to spend more for the borough to mail out ballots to every registered voter with a deliverable address and have reduced opportunity for people to vote in person, or would they like to retain the system that we've had in this borough for decades where people can go and vote at their polling place in their community? It's a pretty simple choice. And so when you choose to vote yes on Proposition 2 on October 6th, what you're doing is you're voting to repeal the vote-by-mail ordinance. And that's kind of how the referendum process works, is the people get a chance to vote up or down on whether or not they like the vote-by-mail ordinance or law that was passed by the Assembly. And so voting yes on ballot measure number 2 is going to repeal that vote-by-mail ordinance, and we would go back to having regular borough elections as folks are used to having.
You know, voter turnout in the borough is pretty low. It's often below 20%, usually below 25%. And the ability to vote by mail increases voter turnout. Do you not think that would be the case on the peninsula because of the reduced polling, in-person polling places?
I'm not sure about all the causes and effects of voter turnout, Kathleen. But what I can tell you is that if people take responsibility for their role in government, because the government really is all of us together. That's the beauty of what I would describe as classical liberal government, where, you know, that means that we have a representative democracy and that we don't have a monarch or we don't have some kind of autocratic regime telling us what to do. Voting is our responsibility as citizens. And part of securing our liberties is that we have to participate and we have to vote. And so it's really unfortunate that people choose not to vote and that they choose not to participate in the system. I've heard other folks say that, you know, voting participation ticks up with vote by mail and then it drops back off. I don't know the veracity of that statement one way or the other. But what I can tell you is that if people want to maintain their rights and liberties as residents of the Kenai Peninsula, as residents of Alaska, and as Americans, they need to participate. And voting is just the beginning of fulfilling your responsibilities as a citizen. You vote, and then you have to participate by volunteering, by giving your input to different measures that come before the Assembly or state legislature, because we need everyone's voices together to have good government. And if we don't have everyone's voices together, government just becomes this externality to people that then they're able to kind of demonize when they don't understand the importance of what we all should be doing together through our local and state government. I think the choice, Kathleen, is relatively clear for people. The bottom line is a vote yes on 2 repeals the vote-by-mail ordinance that was passed by 6 members of the Assembly. And if you like vote-by-mail, if you like the borough, spending more money to send out ballots to everyone, every registered voter with a deliverable address, then you know, don't support the referendum. But if folks want to keep things as they have been, where people will be able to go vote in their community in person as they have been, or continue to vote however they have been voting, then you should vote yes to repeal. And I would encourage people to participate and become educated. It's kind of shocked me how people that I have kind of thought were kind of up on the issue are a little bit slower to understand this one. But the bottom line is that as we look at our elections and as we look at encouraging people to participate, let's talk about the opportunities that we can create together through our local systems and encourage people to participate that way rather than throwing in participation as some kind of gimmick to do something. And I think as people go to the polls, as they educate themselves, the more that you can participate in doing things and taking action to make your community better, the less we're going to have to rely on kind of bumper stickers and buzzwords to pass laws and to do certain things. So I would just encourage folks to get out there and vote in whatever way that they choose. You can already vote by mail. You can already vote by mail in the clerk's office, and folks have done a great job at making information available for people. Because of the COVID-19 situation, the clerk's office has sent out ballot applications to everyone with a pre-registered voter with a deliverable address. So people can already request a ballot and vote by mail right now. And that's not going to change as a result of this referendum. No matter what, folks are still going to be able to vote by mail through absentee voting. That has been a part of our electoral process on the borough, and it's going to continue to be a part of that process. And it's kind of amazing to me that people would even raise the question that this referendum would somehow eliminate absentee voting. It's kind of, I hope that they were, when they do that in public meetings, as has happened in the past, that's in jest. It's my hope. I hope that folks aren't out there trying to mislead people. But the bottom line is, when you vote yes on the referendum, Proposition Number 2, it repeals the vote-by-mail ordinance as passed by the Assembly, and folks will be able to still vote in person at their local polling place or however they are accustomed to and used to voting in the past.
Thank you for making that point. The only other thing I wanted to ask is that, this proposition also talks about the recommendation of moving a possible mayoral runoff election to 4 weeks after the regulation rather than 3 weeks. And is your objection to that just that things need to be taken care of in good fashion, in good time?
No, I don't have a problem with that change at all. I think that was just a logistical change to allow for mailing to take place and to make sure that folks had enough time. If there were vote by mail, if there were widespread, everybody vote by mail, if that's the goal.
Does take longer to count.
Logistically, it would do well to make sure that you weren't disenfranchising people because of a narrower window of time. And I think that's really the reason why that extension came.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks for the call.
And that is Assembly Member Jesse Bjorkman from the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, who is one of the sponsors of this proposition to repeal Ordinance 2020-24. Willie Dunn, would you like to respond to that, to the statements in that interview in any way?
Oh, sure. I could respond to a couple of things. Mr. Bjorkman had some interesting points in there, but as far as, reducing options for voting, the ordinance that is up for repeal actually expands the people's options. As Kathleen mentioned earlier in the program, there are currently 6 precincts in the borough where the people do not have the option to vote in person. They are only vote by mail, including constituents in my district out East End Road, those in the Fox River District, they cannot vote in person. So this would actually give them the opportunity to come into town. It wouldn't be right out in that district, but they could come to town and vote in person on election day, something they haven't been able to do for 20 years. So I see it as expanding options rather than restricting as the options. As far as costs, we have some some numbers which were provided as part of a feasibility study, and it is true that for the first year, the vote by mail would be slightly more expensive. The rough estimate is that vote by mail would cost about $535,000 for the first year, whereas our regular polling places would cost about $451,000. So you got roughly an $80,000 difference there. So it's not a big difference when you're talking about $500,000. Remember that if this ballot measure is successful, if the ordinance for hybrid vote by mail is repealed, then the borough is going to have to spend over $300,000 on accessible voting machines for every precinct. We'd have to buy 30 machines. If the ballot measure fails and the hybrid vote by mail stands, we'd only have to buy 5 ADA machines and software. So the first year it would be slightly higher, but in subsequent years, after we make that initial investment, we'll have to have some other equipment, but that is an investment.
I think the report says $3,000 around each for drop boxes.
Right. We'd have to have drop boxes, secure drop boxes. We'd have to invest in a scanner and voter signature verification software, some things like that. But over time, those costs, the initial investment costs would be averaged out. And so the recurring costs would be almost identical from year to year. In fact, the second year, it's estimated that hybrid vote by mail would be $156,000. And the standard polling system we have now would be almost $151,000. So all practically equal costs in year two. So we would have to make an investment. That's true. But the costs also, remember that if we have increased voter turnout, the cost per voter would actually be lower with the hybrid vote by mail. And we have some really strong, hard data from Anchorage. Anchorage did move to a vote by mail system a couple of years ago. And in 2019, their voter turnout went up from 23% to 29%. So that's a 25% increase
in voter turnout. That data comes from Division of Elections?
That's from the Anchorage. That's not from the Division of Elections, because the Division of Elections deals with state elections.
Only.
So this is municipal. So this comes from the municipal clerk's office in Anchorage. So, and mayoral elections usually have a higher turnout than non-mayoral elections. So we need to be careful to compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges. I truly believe that a hybrid vote by mail system would increase voter turnout significantly here, as it did in Anchorage, a 25% increase.
Well, the upcoming municipal elections will include both a borough mayor election and a City of Homer mayor election. So I'm hoping we can expect increased turnout. Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center, you still there?
I'm here.
Thank you for your patience. I wanted to ask about your work at the Independent Living Center. Is it part of your work to assist people in voting, your clients?
We have four offices. Seward, Soldotna, Homer, and a new office in Kodiak. So, each year we've taken different stances on, you know, what type of assistance people who are our constituents, our consumer base, need in order to vote. Sometimes it's transportation to the polls. Sometimes it's putting together specific questions that are related to disability policy and or aging and senior issues, and finding out from the particular folks that are running for office what their thoughts are about those particular issues. This year we did partly because of COVID and partly because of this issue, we have expanded our website a bit to talk about what the different options are for in-person and absentee and vote by mail options. So it is one of our core services as a Center for Independent Living is to provide systems advocacy, and that's, you know, essentially what this is, or my part in it is, you know, advocating that everyone, regardless of their ability or disability, to be able to vote in a method that is private. Again, that's a civil rights issue. And if I could just say one comment about Mr. Bjorkman's
interview.
When he said something about voting the way that we have voted for decades, it's like that's kind of a central point, because it is decades old, and it is, again, not accessible to all. And as Willie said, even if this vote by mail hybrid, and remember, it's a hybrid, it's not just vote by mail, but if this doesn't pass, then the cost that for accessible voting machines is going to come into effect. So anyway, that wasn't very clear, but I think the point that you know, we should be progressing as other states are progressing and setting other options to vote for folks.
Thank you. I think Assemblymember Dunn made that same point that that the cost could be, the way the costs are calculated, the cost could actually go down over time. I want you, you're welcome to stay on the line. I'm hoping if anyone has any questions or comments, you can call 235-7721 or email your questions to info@kbbi.org. I'm not sure if we have an hour's worth of talk about this ballot measure. We might, and I definitely want to take questions and comments, but I want to switch because there's some other things in this proposition that I'd like to go over as well. And then we'll have a wrap-up, because I think the hardest thing about understanding this is what does a yes mean and what does a no mean? Willie Dunn, there is also in this proposition to repeal Ordinance 2020-24 to remove proposition statements. So that would be that would not be repealed. Help me understand. Help me understand what is the deal with. So when you get your voter information packet with all the candidates and their candidate statements, whatever ballot measures or propositions are on the ballot, you also get an explainer. What does a yes vote mean? What does a no vote mean? And often there have been statements of support or, you know, for or against propositions. And what would change if this proposition passes or doesn't pass?
Sure. And it gets a little convoluted talking about the proposition passing or not passing. So I think what people need to remember is that Proposition 2 would repeal the hybrid vote by mail ordinance that was passed by a majority, supermajority of the assembly, actually survived a veto also. Voting yes would repeal that. So you'd be repealing something that hasn't even taken effect yet. So we haven't started the hybrid vote by mail. It's scheduled to take effect in 2021.
So, in January.
Correct. For the October 2021 election. But we could get the gears rolling January 1st as far as equipment and planning and all that. So voting yes would repeal that. Voting no would retain the hybrid vote by mail system that went through the years-long process of election stakeholder groups, public hearings through the assembly, public hearings, votes, vetoes, overrides, the whole shebang. So we're at the point now where this proposition, which is the right of the people to submit signatures to put a proposition on the ballot, a yes vote would repeal it, a no vote would retain hybrid vote by mail. As far as the other things in there, they're relatively minor. It would extend the time between a runoff election if needed. As Mr. Bjorkman said, that's a logistical issue because of vote by mail would require a little bit more time to certify the election and get that runoff up and running. So that I don't think anybody has a problem with that. The proposition statements in support or in opposition. Right now, borough code allows any individual to submit a statement in support or in opposition of a proposition. And when you get your voter pamphlet in the mail or when you view it online, it comes in the mail. It looks like a newspaper print catalog. You'll get that in the mail, and it'll have all the candidates listed, and it will list the propositions, and there will be a statement in opposition, and that was authored by myself and Tyson Cox and Hal Smalley. So that statement in opposition will be in there, and then there will be a statement in support, too. I haven't seen that yet, but right now, borough code does allow that. However, it's problematic sometimes because there's no guidelines around it. Anybody can submit a statement. They don't really have to have any association with the proposition. Anybody could submit a you know, inaccurate statement because it's printed as written. So the accuracy of the language is not checked. And sometimes there's a statement in opposition and none for support, and sometimes vice versa, or sometimes there's no statement submitted by anybody. So that was actually a recommendation of the stakeholders group. We spent a lot of time looking at all different aspects of voting, not just the voters with disabilities, not just vote by mail. We made, I think it was a total of 6 recommendations. So 2020-24, the ordinance that was passed does include a couple of recommendations beyond hybrid vote by mail.
I think Kathy is on line one. Kathy, do you read?
I do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to tell you an experience, and I have a question. My experience was that in 2015, I took a senior citizen in to vote, and this was someone who couldn't read the ballot herself, and so I read it to her. We were given a table with people walking all around us and hearing what we were doing and what her answers were to her vote. So there was no privacy, and that felt very uncomfortable for the rights of an individual to be able to vote privately. Couple of questions. One is that if I heard correctly, that something about 5 places to vote, is that borough-wide? Is that the Homer area? And does that eliminate some of the walk-in voting places that we have now? That wasn't real clear. Would we have fewer walk-in places? And the third thing was that right now, applications are sent to every voter in the borough, and I see with the hybrid vote by mail that the only difference would be that ballots would be sent by mail. So that cost seems to be the same, but I may be mistaken about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I know Assemblymember Dunn, you would like to talk about the polling places. I mean,
sure.
As right now, polling places have been reduced anyway. I think 7 of them were throughout the borough were taken off because of COVID concerns, things that were happening at senior centers, that sort of thing. But can you address the places to vote?
Sure. We have had some changes in ballot or polling locations because of COVID. There haven't been any eliminated that I'm aware of, but some of those locations have changed. I believe the in Homer for the municipal elections, voters will be able to vote at the Methodist Church over by the high school instead of the senior center. So we're not going to be voting at the senior center. Don't want to put our seniors at risk. So there have been some changes. But the question about the 5 accessible vote centers is a very good question. Yes, those would be throughout the borough. And the proposal is at least 5. The clerk's office could have more than 5, but those would be in the major population centers around the borough. So Homer, Kenai, Soldotna, Seward, and then there would be one in Seldovia because it is an incorporated city. So those 5 accessible vote centers would be located around the borough. And it's not close by to everyone in the borough. But again, remember, right now we have 6 precincts that also are required to vote by mail. So like I said, if you live way out East End Road, you don't have the option to go to a polling place this year. But under the hybrid vote by mail, you could go into Homer and vote in person. So the answer about the accessible vote centers, right now there's about... I think there are 20 polling places around the borough for municipal elections, and that would be reduced down to 5. It could be more than 5 if we decide to, but right now the proposal is 5. As far as applications versus ballots, this year only, applications were mailed to every registered voter for an absentee ballot. That was a decision that the Assembly made because of the COVID pandemic. So we decided to use some of the CARES Act money to try and help people make voting more accessible and mail an application for an absentee ballot to every registered voter. And if the hybrid vote by mail stands, if the ballot measure 2 fails, then you're correct. A ballot would be mailed to every household. And those ballots are secure. There's a bunch of security measures in there. We haven't talked about that yet, but we can get into more details about security if we need to.
Absolutely. I brought a little bit up briefly because of the verification software for signatures, signature review board, and requiring at least one identifier, voter registration number, driver's license number, or social security number. But is there more to it than that?
Well, the signature verification is an important part of that. And so there'll be a privacy sleeve. So you would receive a ballot. You make your choices on the ballot. Then you put that into the privacy sleeve. And then you put that into an envelope, and you sign the envelope. And when that it's received, and you don't have to put it in the mail. So vote by mail is a catch-all term. You could drop that off at a secure drop box, or you could drop it off at one of the accessible vote centers. So you don't need to use the mail, U.S. mail, to send your ballot in. But any event, when those are received, there's security measures, security cameras. Poll workers are required to be trained and wear badges, and the public is not allowed into the secure area. That's only for trained poll workers. Those envelopes are entered into a sorter and a scanner, which actually scans the signature, and then with comparing that with the identifier, the state has a database of signatures, and the software will kick out signatures that might not match. And then we have trained workers that would do a comparison of the signatures, similar to the way that forensic law enforcement does. And those are very few that are kicked out because of signatures. If a signature doesn't match, if it looks like somebody's trying to forge somebody's signature, the clerk's office can contact the person who was supposed to have signed it and ask if they did sign it and try and rectify. That's another thing. You know, if you make a mistake in the polls right now and you you drop your ballot in the box or scan it through the machine, you don't have an option to remedy errors. Under the hybrid vote by mail, there are certainly options for remedying errors. A lot of security and a lot of backup.
So Kristen is on the line. Kristen, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. I certainly will be voting for retaining the hybrid voting things because there are people who have trouble accessing physical places. I myself will show up at the polling place because even though I am old and in one of the classifications for getting COVID, I believe that considering how many people have risked their lives and given their lives to give me my right to vote, I should have the courage to just be able to go in and vote because, you know, it's my privilege and my responsibility to do this. So I encourage everybody to vote to retain the hybrid voting for those people who cannot easily get out and do this themselves, or like that one lady said, has to go in with someone and help them read the ballot because of physical impairment. But I would encourage everybody to get out and vote, whether you do it by mail or do it physically. If you're afraid, yes, vote by mail. But if you have the courage and understand your responsibility, I would encourage you also to go to a physical polling place that serves you and to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. And this leads me to a question for Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center. Joanna, what does an accessible voting precinct look like to you?
Well, a couple of things. The building or the facility itself needs to be accessible, which generally means designated parking, a ramp, wide enough doors for individuals who may be wheelchair users to use. And so the physical aspect of the polling place needs to be accessible to all individuals. And then there's the machine itself. And Willie and all the stakeholder members can attest there is some really interesting technology out there that allows for speech text to speech to text that just like the woman who called in earlier, the machine would read the ballot to an individual who is wearing headphones. So again, it's private. If the voter is a Braille user, then there's that option. So that's, you know, from my standpoint, that's what I see is the polling place itself needs to be accessible, which, as we all know, not all polling places have been accessible. And then there's the machine itself.
Thank you. I think Nancy is on the line. Nancy, do you read?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to say a vote no allows us to continue to all vote and gives accessibility to everyone, because people that are remote or people that have disabilities or whatever, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I thank that lady that started this thing. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I'm really going to definitely vote no so that I can make sure that everyone can continue to have the right to vote. A vote yes takes actually voting rights away, and so I really think I'm glad we're coming. I'm sorry that we even have to talk about this, because it was great that we had this ordinance, but a vote no will allow more people to vote, and I'm definitely going to vote no. So thank you.
Thanks for calling, Nancy.
Kathleen, could
go
I?
Go ahead. Go ahead, yeah. Willie Dunn.
That's a really important point, and thanks for the caller. It gets a little confusing, and there's municipal elections and state elections, which happen at two different times. So this is the election coming up October 6th, and voting no will actually expand your voting rights, because the hybrid vote by mail ordinance does expand voting rights. So. You know, it would allow for all voters anywhere, any ability, any disability, to vote in the way that suits them best. So voting no actually expands voting rights. So no on Prop 2 means that we would enact the new hybrid system. And I just want to say also that, you know, it is a big change, and change can be difficult. Change can be uncertain, you know, and frightening and concerning. But this is something that was developed with a lot of people from all over the borough, and with very, very thoughtful input. And you know, it's a long-term solution for accessible voting. And, you know, people who say, well, we've always done it this way, you know, to me, that's not a valid argument. Just because something has always been done a certain way doesn't mean it's right, and doesn't mean it's universally acceptable to all. So this change would be expanding rights to help more voters participate.
So it's just about time to do our final reiteration of what yes means and what no means and what the ballot measure is. So I want to make sure this is last call to be taking any calls or questions. If you have any, get them in the next minute or two, because I want to start wrapping up. Joanna Geisler, thank you so much for being on the panel this morning. I really appreciate your input as a member of the stakeholders group and also as the executive director of the Independent Living Center for the Peninsula. Is there anything you feel like has gone unsaid that you were hoping to talk about this morning, or just any final comments you'd like to make?
I think my final comment, first of all, thanks Kathleen and KBBI for sponsoring this coffee table, because it is confusing. It is counterintuitive, as it seems like sometimes the yes and no propositions
can get confusing, but I think I'm going to take up Nancy's statement and say no means expanded voting options for Proposition 2. I think, you know, there's as you've seen by the final report, there's a ton of data and research in there if people want to delve into that. But bottom line, no means on Proposition 2, no means expanded voting options for all folks.
Well, Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center of the Kenai Peninsula, thank you so much for being on the panel today. And I'm going to say good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Willie Dunn, are there any final comments that you'd like to make, or is there something that's I didn't have on my list to talk about that you feel like needs to be addressed that we haven't gotten to?
Well, it is a complicated issue. I like to simplify it that we'd like to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. And that's what 2 years of work, actually it's been over 2 years because the complaint with the Alaska Human Rights Commission was filed more than 2 years ago, but 2 years of very diligent work went into this and is supported, widespread support from around the borough. Like I said, the people do have the right to have a ballot proposition to either repeal it or keep it, and we'll see what the people do. The fact that this is done in a number of states around the United States, I think there are five different states that use vote by mail or hybrid vote by mail. Other municipalities in Alaska have used it successfully. The borough has used it successfully for over 20 years, and there has been zero accusations of fraud with vote by mail in the borough from six precincts over 20 years. So that track record is just an example of how safe and secure it is, and the new system would be even more secure than our current vote by mail system in those six precincts. So voting no on Proposition 2 in the borough election will help expand voting rights and will make it easier to vote and harder to cheat.
Well, I want to use the language of the proposition to finish us off. But first, I just received an email saying, please discuss early voting options as it can minimize congestion at polling places. And so absolutely, there will be, polls will be open for early voting, not quite yet, but in a few weeks. And it definitely reduces congestion at the polls. So I want to use the language of Kenai Peninsula Borough Proposition Number 2, repealing Ordinance 2020-24 to be voted on by the voters in the October 6th municipal election. If a yes vote, if yeses carry the day, a hybrid vote by mail system would not be implemented. The date of the mayoral runoff election would continue to be 3 weeks after the regular election, and statements advocating approval or rejection of ballot propositions would continue to be included in the voter pamphlets. If proposition does not pass, a no vote would mean that the hybrid vote by mail system would go into effect January 1st of 2020. The date of the mayoral runoff election would be 4 weeks after the regular election, and the only proposition ballot summary and only the proposition ballot summary approved by the assembly would appear in the voter pamphlet. And I think that wraps it up for now. By late this afternoon, early tomorrow morning, this show and resources like Stakeholders Group Report and the ballot and a sample of the proposition will all be up on kbbi.org so that you can review it at your leisure. And Assemblymember Willie Dunn, thank you so much for being on the panel this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been The Coffee Table on KBBI Homer AM 890. This week's topic, Proposition Number 2. I know I went backward because next week on The Coffee Table, we'll be talking about Proposition 1, which is combining an creating an anchor point in a Nilchik emergency service area. And so that will be next Wednesday.